BOE back in session. We have, are you guys here on BOE 181 Branson Hills? Or is that different? No, that's different. Those were just put on from a continue.
That's the hotel.
That's the
Welk.
Okay. Where are we? What's the name of you guys' first property?
Fall Creek Townhomes.
377, sorry. Let me just see the other name. You know what page you
were on? Haven't found it yet.
Come on up.
Hi, board. My name is Riley Shantz.
I'm sorry?
My name is Riley Shantz. I'll move this up a little bit. Can I pass some
sure.
attachments out to you guys?
This first one is similar to our meeting a couple weeks ago. Talks about cap rates, type of life cycle, the life cycle property. Mm-hmm. Based off our 2024 office, which we shared these with the assessor's office as well.
So we got our values from the assessor's office last week. We tried to reach out to communicate and get an understanding of their numbers. We were unsuccessful in getting together to do that. That said, what you have in front of you, yeah, I'll start with the numbers. The first one is a subsidized housing worksheet, and that's kind of the way we were directed to look at valuing these properties based off the assessor's manual. So we have years 23, 24, and 25. 25 has projections as we're midway through the year, and 24 is based off our audit. These properties are required to have an audit, not something market rate properties are required to do, certified by a CPA. So what we're showing here has all the expenses but for real estate taxes, and we have an NOI of $79,000 for 2024. And again, that's based off the numbers from our audit. And then going to page two, just to talk through what we have here, we have column to the left is 2024 financials based off our audit that include real estate taxes, whereas the first page did not, to get to an NOI of $60,000. And the column to the right has our numbers that exclude taxes to get to an NOI for assessment value purposes. The key differences between our values that the assessor provided to us and what we're showing you guys, there's a lot of disallowed expenses. The main ones are replacement reserves, which are a requirement for these properties to have by our lender and the state agency. It's $300 per unit per year. It's an obligation. It has to be paid every single year. And management fees, all of which are required to run the property. So that's the main difference in the level of expenses to get to our NOI. That's why they're showing our NOI higher. And cap rate, obviously, which is a second component to this. So the cap rate chart, which we have, and what was shared with us, showed cap rates of major markets across the nation. And going back to our chart, We explained why we feel the cap rate should be higher a couple weeks ago. The cap rate is solely based off what the value is, and as the property ages, the cap rate should trend towards market norms. The day the property is placed in service, the cap rate should be the highest. An example of that, we purchased one of these properties in year 10, so closer to when it should be shifting to market norms at a 12% cap rate. And the reason it was so high is because we are entering into a partnership. It's a pretty illiquid investment. We have a six-year hold period where we can't do anything with it. It cannot be sold fee simple. And then after that, it's got an extended use period of 15 years where we have to keep the rents restricted. So there's no free market approach to revenue. If the economy increases, we cannot change rents how we please. They're capped, they're rent controlled. We can't change that. We also have additional expenses such as audit expenses, replacement reserve expenses, and other compliance expenses that increase that expense level. And I'd like to point out, too, the cap rate component of this. There are major markets, and those properties, at least the report that we looked at, were all things built greater than 15 years ago, meaning, one, they can be sold fee simple. The properties that we're talking about today are in years 2 and 3. They can't be sold fee simple, which means there's a significant discount because of that. And they're in major markets, not Branson, Missouri, not Springfield, Missouri. They're older in their compliance period, meaning they probably have the restrictions worn off. You can take them, you can take the rents to market if you'd like. There's not any more restrictions on those assets. And that's a huge difference between the market value of those and what we're talking about. So the same report that got provided does, I don't frankly think it's relevant to what we're talking about, because all the reasons that hurt our values, those don't have anymore. And then if you look at page 2, I think this really kind of tells the whole story. So we have our column on the left that shows what the NOI is with taxes. And as a market buyer, if I want to get a 7.5% interest yield on my investment, I pay $807,000 for that asset. That's taxes. That's everything included to operate that property. So we the market cap rate provided us was 7.01. We feel it's actually higher than that. It's probably in the 8s or upper 8s for Branson, Missouri in general. But for me to go buy the property, if I could buy a fee simple, which I can't, at a 7.5 cap, I pay $807,000. We don't believe the assessed value should be greater than the market value of the property. And I believe there's actually a state statute that supports that. So if you take out taxes to calculate assessed value on the right column, you get to $78,000 of NOI. You have to do a 9.76 cap to get to that same value. And that's where we believe it should fall. I'm happy to answer any questions. I think that tells the story in terms of what the value is today. And again, I think a 7.5 cap is aggressive on the market value for a buyer coming in, because the reality of it is we can't transact this property. We can't sell it fee simple. For someone to come in and buy it, they have to buy the company that owns the real estate, and it's extremely unlikely. So it's not a liquid investment whatsoever. But if they were, at a 7.5 cap, that's only $807,000 value. And the chart you have, again, we're in years we're in year 3 of Fall Creek Townhomes.
Okay.
So you can see we have a long runway to get to the restrictions.
Okay. Dan? Does the board have any questions? Right now.
Not yet.
So Riley's group and we are partners in these two projects, okay? So I wanted to talk about some business and big perspective stuff that I think may make more sense from a business perspective. So as Riley said, these are not marketable. You can't sell them, okay? And you have a 10-year compliance, meaning you have to operate them and follow the strict guidelines. And the reason there's an audit is to make sure you do. And so what we, as you can tell, okay, these two projects, that revenue, that net income that they produced, that Riley just talked about, is 1% of what it cost to build them 2 and 3 years ago. 1% return on investment. Okay? So obviously everybody here knows, everybody in the world knows, you can't build something and take the risk for a 1% return. And that's what it is. By the audit. So that audit report's in there that shows our cost. So it was verified too. So those aren't exaggerated. Those aren't fabricated numbers. Okay? They are what they are. Okay? So that's how that goes. In the market rate, okay, is that the LIHTC projects, okay, they can't be increased. It's extremely tight, and the reason for that is that you're taking tax credits. That's the limitation is, one, you can't sell it, And secondly, okay, and substantively, you can't sell it. And secondly, you can't increase the rents. So that's what you get. The reason that that is because the tax benefits that you get reduces the investment. Okay? One of the things that I have, which I think there is, as best we can tell, there's no authoritative promulgation about what exactly the tax rate ought to be. This report, which has numerous references, lawsuits, etc., about where they got their information from, but this report is clear. It tells you the risk, and particularly if you look at the underlying things that I have there, okay, it talks about why the cap rate should be significantly higher. Those of you in the marketplace, for example, Mark and HCW, they have, you know, they've done a lot of market rate stuff throughout the country, okay? And when you go out and you have typically, in bigger projects, you have typical bank debt, and then you go get mezzanine financing, i.e. secondary debt, because you can't afford to put all the equity in. And the both the bank debt and the mezzanine financing are subordinate to the bank, okay? The mezzanine and the capital are subordinate to the bank, okay? Typically, mezzanine financing is in the mid-teens. In my opinion, there is an argument, and a strong argument, that the cap rate that ought to be used here is more similar to mezzanine financing. The risk is the same, because think about it. We, as the developers, okay, we're getting a 1% risk or 1% return. That means there's no flexibility if the market changes, if the reason for people, in our case, the reason for people to come to Branson goes away, those restrictions on the rent are still the same. And we only got a 1% return. So in my mind, you know, cap rate is an indication of what the risk is. So I highly suggest that you look at that, particularly the underlying, because it really strongly suggests that. A couple of the other things that I wanted to talk about is that when you think about it, if we're limited to a 1% return, okay, by audits, okay, so the other people that have market rates, they're not getting audited, we are, and we're making sure that we're complying, is that we're dealing with all the pressures that come with the expenses. We pay the same amount of insurance, even though, as everybody in this room knows, that insurance premiums on property and liability have gone up between 30 and 50% the last 3 years. Our rates aren't going up. That's risk to us. As everybody in this room knows, utilities have gone up 7 to 9% the last 3 or 4 years. That's on us, and they're coming up more, as we all know. So we're restricted and can't increase our rates, and that's why I come back to, when we only got a 1%, we are taking more risk, and the cap rate ought to be higher. Okay? And I'm saying, as Riley said, it ought to for sure be in the 9% range, and I think there's an argument that it ought to be higher, and I think this, which has court cases that back it up, although it doesn't say it because you can't find anything, okay? It doesn't say the exact amount. It just says that it ought to be substantially higher, okay? The other side that Riley talked about and alluded to, if anybody that goes out on the market, national investors will not come to Branson. You do not see any national publicly held company or investment firm come buy an apartment, even market rate, in Branson, Missouri. Why? They want to go to New York. They want to go to Chicago. They want to go to Dallas. They want to go to Phoenix, where you have a lot more white-collar workers, a lot more higher incomes, and a lot more stable market. Okay? And so as a result, that suggests higher cap rates. One of the last things that I want everybody to understand from a business standpoint, which I think makes a lot of sense, okay, in addition to all the costs being higher, is that per our audit, it's available to you, we can provide it, the assessor has it, is the Fall Creek property cost us, audited cost, was $8,688,000. Now, this isn't 10 years ago, it isn't 20 years ago, it's 3 or 4 years ago. There are 30 units there. That is $289,000 a unit.